Hey, you heard of Urban Float? If you'd like to relax and disconnect, then you should check out Urban Float in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, located next to Rosenfeld's Jewish Deli and the new Ocean Atlantic Shopping Center on Route 1 North. Guests of Urban Float get to relax and float in their own flotation pod filled with purified skin temperature water and 1,200 pounds of dissolved Epsom salts. Have you ever been there?
Yes.
It's awesome.
It is.
The health benefits are profound. I love it. You can book your first float at urbanfloat.com. Just be sure to select the Rehoboth Beach location and use the code FIRSTTIME at checkout to receive 50% off your first float. Renew, refresh, revive at Urban Float. Good morning.
Good morning.
How's it going? So you're the first guest to eat in here.
Oh, wow.
Welcome.
It's always a first.
How's it going?
It's going good.
So were you nervous when I asked you? Because I ran into you and I said, hey, why don't you come on my podcast? And you're like, okay.
I love it.
But then did you start thinking, uh-oh, what have I signed
up
for?
No, I'm excited. I want to have a podcast too.
Well, and that's kind of why, and we discussed this, and I thought we'd discuss it on the podcast, but I think you do a great podcast. You know, we started doing this Rehoboth Social umbrella kind of group of podcasts. And I'm looking for interesting people, and you kind of have an interesting life. You kind of have the freedom to do a podcast, and I think that that is number one key to doing one, is to have a little bit of freedom, because I think regardless whether you think the podcast is good or not, people like consistency. You said you're a big podcast fan,
I am. I listen to a lot of podcasts.
So, you commented, because we're in here in the Rehoboth podcast studio.
Yeah.
Floor 115 of the skyscraper in Rehoboth here. but I'm watching, you know, I like Joe Rogan. And one thing I know is that when Joe Rogan doesn't post a podcast, I get all,
You get anxious?
Well, it gets a little anxious and
I miss him.
I miss him.
You do. I know. I get the same way. There's a few people I follow. One of them is My Favorite Murder, which I'm a true crime junkie that I am. It's a bit of a cult of people that listen to it, and it became a very big, which some of them do. Some of them, they go on live tours.
Yeah.
And does he do that?
Joe Rogan is he's a stand-up comedian.
Right. I remember him. Wasn't he on the Fear Factor or whatever that was?
Yeah, he was on Fear Factor, was also on a sitcom, which I forget the name of it, but it was Newsbreak or some news show, I think he was on. And plus he's a stand-up comedian, and he also does the MMA. He does the fights.
Oh, like the wrestling.
Well, MMA is, ultimate or fighting, not wrestling. It's real. There's blood. There's pain.
It's real fighting.
Yeah. Well, I shouldn't even said that.
It's like Fight Club.
It's like Fight Club. Exactly.
Can't
talk about Fight Club.
Don't talk about it.
But I don't think he goes on tour and does his podcast, but he definitely goes on tour and does his stand-up.
Yeah, well, it's a thing now. I think when podcasts started, most people I knew didn't even hear about it.
Yeah.
And then it was it became more of a thing.
What I don't like about podcasts, and people, since I do a podcast now, people are always like, oh my gosh, you must listen to a lot of podcasts. I don't listen to podcasts. I listen to Joe Rogan's podcast. Joe Rogan inspired me to do this podcast, and what I liked about his podcast was just the free flow conversation. It's almost like that, it's almost like we're going to have a conversation. We don't care who's listening. If people want to kind of listen in, that's fine, but it's not based on trying to.
No. Have you listened to Mark Maron, WTF with Mark?
Uh-uh.
Oh my God, you got to listen to that.
Good. I've heard of him.
If you like this, you will love that.
Well, I know Mark Maron. There's a whole Jordan. Yeah. I forget his name. The guy from Canada. There's a whole group of them that do them.
Yeah.
And I love them. The first mistake, though, is that I sometimes try to compare myself to a Joe Rogan, which is stupid because
clearly. No, you got to be you, man.
Well, you got to be you. When I first started doing the podcast, I'd watch a Joe Rogan podcast. And I'm like, why am I even bothering? You know, why? Because I'm never going to get. You know, I'm watching this one right here. He's got Dan Aykroyd on. We're never going to have Dan Aykroyd. But I also watch this Dan Aykroyd.
This is therapy, Tom.
Right.
It's like going out. You got to let go of the outcomes when you do things, right?
Exactly. But I also look at this podcast with Dan Aykroyd, and I'm not finding it that interesting.
some people suck.
Right. Some people kind of suck.
And they're kind of really, boring. Yeah.
He's got an agenda. He's promoting his vodka, which we definitely don't drink. So, or I don't. I should speak for myself.
What's his agenda?
He's selling vodka. He has a vodka company.
Did you know Mark Maron is sober, dude? And he talks about it a lot, too, on his, like, he'll bring it up, you know, sometimes with, like, because he interviews a lot of famous people, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's no, I'm not, it's no secret that I'm sober. Right. We talk about it on the podcast.
I can talk, that's what I was going to say before. I'm like, do you talk about recovery on here or not, but.
I don't talk about recovery. I would if someone wants to talk about it. I haven't had anybody that likes talking about recovery.
I know, right? People don't talk about it.
Well,
it's like Fight Club.
Recovery is funny, especially alcoholism is funny because alcohol, unfortunately, has the one problem is that it's alcohol based. So when you stop drinking, a lot of people say, "Oh, well, I fixed the problem," and then they kind of.
Drop off
a little bit.
Totally.
Where really, and I was just telling this to somebody, I go, alcoholism is not really a disease of alcohol. At least for me, alcohol is a disease of self. It's really a gluttonous disease.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's, I mean, my first drug, I always say it was women. You know, my first girlfriend made me feel taller, made me feel funnier. You know, like I was better. You know, she responded, laughed, you know, oh. It's so cute. And I thought, well, look at that. And I, so I mean, you know.
It's people, it's food, it's.
Money.
I mean, you, greed. Like, it's all, you can replace it easily.
Well, I feel like they should have Gluttonous Anonymous.
Yeah. They should have a lot of things.
They should. But the one thing about alcoholism is that, you know, the difference between like too many donuts and too much alcohol is that donuts don't get you put in jail. So that's usually why we end up addressing alcohol because it's. Takes us that far, but
right
there are so many
and that's why like it doesn't matter.
I have to luckily I was in it to win it and still I'm in it to win it and have done it for a long time. Actually in December I should be, and this is kind of funny too, I'm supposed to be celebrating 10 years
the
22nd of December, but then I was sitting there, me and my son David were chatting, and I got sober. I went back. I had been sober for 7 years, decided to drink from, well, actually, the voice said, hey, you deserve it. Look how good you've been doing. You should have a drink.
Yeah.
I was like, you're right, voice.
Voice.
But, and then I struggled. But finally, you know, after my first wife walked out on me and took David with her, and I woke up the next morning and still drank for another week, but finally went up to a place up in PA and finally got sober again. But I remember I talked to David on his first birthday from there. So, and David just turned 14.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 13. And then I changed my sobriety date 2 years into that because I was taking pain pills because of a back injury. You know, it said one, I took three, yada, 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 changed the sobriety date. So that was 2 years into it. So I'm celebrating 10, but I almost wonder if it should be 11, but I'm gonna stick with 10. I'm not grabbing an extra year, but
no, and I think, you know, from what I understand, because I'm in the other program, that it's, you come back, you know? That's what's so cool about it to me, is there's no judgment. It's like, you know, you are where you're at, you do what you do, you can always come back. And I don't know. I mean, there's so many great things about it for me. But
well, there's a lot of tests to any sort of 12-step program. First of all, anything that gives you days where we count, you know, celebrate time. You know, a lot of people will, you know, like, you know, like that time becomes more important than the fact of actual sobriety, you know. So that right there, that's kind of an ego-based kind of idea, right?
You
like,
think,
look at me. But we're trying to, you know.
Well, they got to have something.
They got to have something.
You got to have something.
Well, you get a coin. I mean, honestly, I'm not bad-mouthing it, but it's what you think is one thing. What you think, I used to always say when I first got sober, one of my first real mind-opening learning experiences from sobriety was that when I first got sober, I thought it would be a great idea. You can move that. You can do whatever you want. Don't worry.
I'm going to move it.
Yeah, move it.
I'm moving it.
Get a good comfy spot.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the first things I thought was important is that when I would go to the grocery store, I thought it was great that I took the cart back all the way to the store.
Small wins.
Yeah, but the problem
was... Little changes.
Well, the problem was, though, I was looking to see if anybody noticed.
Oh, I see. You're looking for recognition.
Recognition. Yeah. I wanted to do a good thing, but this was early sobriety. But these were all like little early things. I'm like, look at me taking the cart back. I'm not taking it to the holder. I'm taking it all the way to the door. But I would notice, who does anybody see my
wiener? Yeah.
So that was really be my problem, really, when it all, you know, take the alcohol, take all the shit away.
Oh, yeah.
It's really about self and humility. I always say I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility.
Yeah.
That chooses alcohol, but I've also chose other things as well.
Yeah.
That's the battle.
It is. And like I said, I'm not in your side of it, but even for people in the other program, which is, can I say Al-Anon on here?
You can say whatever you want.
I'm so touchy about it sometimes, like with certain things. Just like, don't say it.
I don't think it's an issue if we share. We obviously wouldn't want to throw anybody else out there.
No,
it's a choice.
I just,
I do,
you know, it's therapy, it's working on yourself, it's awareness, it's a lot of things. It's been huge for me in my life personally, and it's helped me in so many ways. In addition to like going to therapy, and I've done all the things, you know, so it's like, it's great. I think it's great.
Well, it's given me
it's
a life.
Community's huge, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Wasn't that one of the cool things in the beginning? I don't know how your beginning started, but I remember just all of the like people that I started to know and friends.
Yeah.
I would go out and be like, hey, Tom. I'm like, hey, you know, you're not.
It's like an instant, like you're instantly in a group, you know, which is fun.
In a good group.
Yeah, in a good group.
Yeah.
And there's no bullshit.
No bullshit.
I love the new bullshit.
Well, listen, there could be some bullshit. There's always a little bullshit
everywhere,
right?
But in a sense that, like, there's a lot of honesty and it's encouraging you to be open and speak your truth, which I did not encounter in any other place before it for me, personally.
Right.
You know, I would listen to people and be like, holy shit, the person just said that in front of all these people. That was kind of, like, blew my mind a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. It's very cool. Like I love that, and I love the people.
It's funny because you know
Matt
was a big, you know, Matt was my sponsor, and he taught me a lot of shit about myself, but without telling me like this is what I'm teaching you. He would just give me like these weird little tasks, and I would, you know, he would leave it up to me to make the most of it or whatever I would create in my, the first one he did. And this is when I came back from Pennsylvania and I've said this before, but I said, man, I've been really struggling. Can you help me out? And he's like, call me tomorrow and we'll see where we go with it. I go, got it. And I remember I walked away and I go, he clearly knows I have something important to say because he wants me to call.
Mm-hmm.
And this was Matt Hale, you know, the great.
Yeah.
And he wanted me to call. And I was like, God damn, that is so amazing. I'm amazing. And this is that ego bullshit that runs in my head.
Yeah.
That runs in a lot of people's head, but it definitely runs in mine. So I remember I called him the first day or the next day expecting a long conversation. He didn't even answer. I'm like, well, he must be, you know, he must have crashed or something because he just can't get to his phone. So I called the next day, no answer. I was like, what? The third day. And this whole time I'm going through all of this thinking. You know, I'm tearing it apart.
You're making meaning.
I'm making meaning.
Yeah, you're
yes.
making a story. You're like, this means this and this means that. And
yep.
that's
and
what happens. Yeah.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
And the
yeah.
third day I called, no answer. And I go, fuck this guy. I'm pissed.
Isn't that how interesting how quick
we turn?
You can go down a path?
Absolutely.
That's nuts.
Well, I can go up a path or down a path.
Yeah, well, that's the same.
First,
and
I went
honestly,
up the path.
This is what's so interesting to me. It's the same for people on the other in the program I'm in because all of that same stuff happens in a different way,
mm-hmm.
which is like the phone is the urgency of the phone today.
Yeah.
Makes me insane.
Yeah.
Like we don't even think about it, right? Like you get a text and it's like, I got a text right back. But like, I don't, for whatever
reason.
Yeah,
because they're going to get feelings if I don't. Like
do you, are you a texter? Like you
no.
have to text right away? Because I don't do that either. But I notice like kids are pretty quick with that. And a lot of people are like this whole, like, I got to text right away. I got to answer right away. I'm like I'm an avoider. I like do not, like not, it depends on what it is. But
I heard you got a text.
Did you hear it?
Mm-hmm. Did
boop,
you?
Boop. No, I turned my phone off. How did you know that?
Because I heard it. So
you
it,
did?
It
maybe
made
my
a noise.
Ringer's off. Oh, my God.
See, it was giving me stress. Your text was giving me stress.
It's stressing you out, man.
No, I'm not. I don't care.
No, but I think it is an interesting thing that happens, just that example of like you get a text and you suddenly start thinking.
Well, one of the
like how to handle any of it, whether and depending on what your day's been like or what your morning's been like, how you're going to respond to that kind of instant, you know, someone's out to reach you, whatever's happening. It's hard.
I think part of it is that you and I'm 51. I don't know how old you are.
45.
So we come from kind of the same, you know, we come from a clear period where we had no phone.
Right. Exactly.
Our kids these days. And I experienced this with, cause we both have, you know, you have Oliver in your life. David's in my life. We'll just say, let me introduce you, Tiffany.
I'm Tiffany. God, it's been a while.
Hey, Tiffany.
We got right in.
But you know, our kids are together, Oliver and David. I mean, they're best friends.
They're connected.
Yeah, they're connected. So that's how we know each other. But they've grown up with phones.
Mm-hmm.
So they're a little different. You know, they're like, I used to say, David, I don't want you on Twitter because I would be afraid that he was going to do something to get his feelings hurt. That's what I would do. That's fear I have.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want
protection.
Someone, I don't want anybody criticize me on Twitter. Or I don't want to get bombed on Twitter or something. So I'm like, don't go on Twitter, David. He's like, why? I go, I don't know.
I know. And it's funny that you pick Twitter because it's like, what about the other ones?
Twitter seems to be the one where there's a lot of free-for-all. Like, you can kind of get hashtagged in something and bashed in something.
I mean, I find the Snapchat and the Insta, like, because it's about their network of friends and what they're on.
Well, and that's what David said.
He goes, like, the criticisms and the judgment and the... whatever. I haven't encountered, my kids, I don't think, have encountered bullying from it.
No,
but,
and that's just my fear.
But it can, and I think that they are definitely aware of what everyone else is doing on those things, and then they judge themselves, and they compare, and all that stuff, those were my issues with social media, but it's their own things to navigate, you know? It's their world. We're not in it.
And I said, what? And I go, well, why are you on Twitter? He goes, well, you know, I like to follow 21 Pilots. You know, I follow Half Alive. He follows all these bands. Yeah. I'm like, oh, well, great idea.
No, it is cool. Actually, Oliver is really into Twitter.
Yeah, they love Twitter. Yeah. And I think of it as this weird, you know, I hear about it on social media about these people that get, you know, attacked and, you know, they put these, but these are people that are putting out like political opinions, you know, in the, you know, Democrats
shit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Our kids aren't doing that. They're following 21 Pilots and they're like, new merch went on sale.
I mean, they're just into what they're into.
Well, those kids, I love those kids, right?
They're the best.
They're the best.
The best.
The best.
They're so creative.
Well, I think back to kind of what we were talking about though, I think that, it is, even after all the time that I've been working this program, and I've said this before, you know, I compare it to like a mountain, you know, and I've worked up my way up the mountain, working up all my problems, fixing everything, and I finally get to the top, and then I just want to run around the top and just make trouble. You know, I don't want to be better. I'm always like, and the only other issue I have with the 12-step program is that I find myself constantly analyzing myself, and it gets exhausting.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think there's a period where even like I've seen people do a lot of work, you know, they do the steps and they do all this work and then they can just keep diving in and diving into doing all these different like other ways of doing work. And I think you got to know yourself and you got to know when to take a break or when to like just live and just, you know, but I think all of the elements of what you need are there within the framework of it. And you just have to pick and choose where you're at. That's how I feel about it.
Well,
and it's hard because you can distract with work. You can distract with doing, you know, I'm going to do this thing now and I'm going to do that thing. And like a lot of self-help stuff, which I think is really helpful, but you also got to like live your life and put those things into practice.
Well, that's why I say I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. That's really it in a nutshell.
Hey, you know yourself.
Humility is self's kryptonite.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm going to, like, you know, there's a step in, you know, the fourth step where we kind of...
The look at yourself.
Yeah, we've kind of Christmas tree down it. It's like, Mr. Jones, I hate Mr. Jones. Why? Well, because I just hate him. That would be old me. I hate him. I don't know. Just hate that guy. But, you know, now we look at it. Oh, he's got a nice car. He's got a beautiful wife. He's got a bigger house, you know. And then I say, well, that's really what I don't like. I'm just jealous. I wish I had that stuff. So there's ego and pride and others thing. Really, Mr. Jones didn't do anything. It's just
no.
Stuff.
It's always about
it's
us.
It's really my lack of.
It's
doing
always
something.
About us.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So, it's when you get down to it.
And then the next thing that follows that is really accountability.
Right.
What was my part? Mm-hmm. You know, I got involved in something a couple years ago with the person, and it didn't go well. And my wife was involved, and my wife hates this girl. She hates her. To this day. Yeah, and I'm
well,
like,
I go,
babe, you got, you know, we got involved out of greed. You know, if we're going to be real honest, if I'm going to be accountable, I got involved because I thought it would be an easy way to make some money. It was a simple business. Get in, just make a ton of money. If it all had worked out and everything we had done was done correctly, we could have made a great income. But it didn't. And we got involved with a person I knew better, but greed came a creeping in. You know, it's one of those seven deadly sins. And there it was. That's fine. Didn't work out. Lost some money. But at least I know why. I can't just say, well, I hate her. No, I got
involved.
Well,
you can't learn from anything if you just label it that way.
Exactly. You got to be accountable. And I remember Matt used to say, you know, you got to be accountable. You can't be a victim. And I'm like.
Yeah, being a victim is. That's a big one.
Well, I remember crashing my car. I remember crashing my car and. Having my face in my hands saying, why me, God? Because mm-hmm. you drank and crashed.
Yeah.
You made bad choices.
Right.
But I was, that wasn't, I couldn't figure that out for a while.
No. So let's talk about movies.
Let's talk about them. Did you see that new movie with the new Brad Pitt movie?
I did not, and I need to see it. Mm. I did not need to see it. Do I need to talk about, like, should I talk about what I do? Do they need to know who I am? Do you guys want to know me?
Do you want to talk about? Yeah, I mean,
I felt like I should do that a little bit.
Well, first of all, let's talk. Let's talk about something. What do you think about doing a podcast?
I think I kind of want to do that. Yeah, I mean, I've been toying with it for a while. I love film. Art photography were definitely one of my first interests. And then movies have always been a big love for me. You know, I think that was my first, I don't know, a little bit of escapism was watching movies.
I get it.
When I was, especially like when I was like a teen.
Well, we're kind of a little bit different in age, but kind of same generation sort of. I mean, we saw, a movie came out, we had to see it in the theater.
Yeah, you did.
I mean, I saw Jaws in the theater.
Yeah, but you know, I do remember the, advent of you know, the VHS and having like being able to rent a movie.
Right, but in the very beginning.
But that was such a big deal when it happened. I remember, I think my neighbor had an Indiana Jones movie and we would just watch it like 100 times.
Yeah.
Because it was just so cool that you could do that. I remember when that happened. But yeah, I love going to the movies, you know, like going to the theater is like the experience for me. Yeah, the whole thing. Getting the popcorn, nachos, whatever, candy, sitting in the dark with a group of people.
Do you remember the marathon bar?
No, what is that?
Remember the marathon bar?
No.
You only could buy it at the movies, but it was a chocolate bar. It was like this long and it was braided.
Oh, I don't remember
caramel
that.
With chocolate drizzled all over it.
I can't believe I don't know that one.
Oh my.
No,
that was,
I don't remember.
That was absolute a movie theater
that was
candy
your thing?
Bar.
That was like your candy?
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone has their candy.
It's delicious.
Know? It's good. But there's like a whole thing about it for me, the experience of it. And there's something cool about being in an audience. You know, going to a horror movie, which I can do anytime. I can do it by myself, which I just did recently. But there's something about being in a crowd when people respond to it than when you're sitting at home watching it. I think that's the thing about it is just that whole.
So do you think you'd want to do like a movie podcast?
I think so. I kind of want to do something where, because for me, movies are not real life. Obviously, they're movies, but they really connected to me in a real way in my life throughout periods of my life. Yeah. And they played a pretty important part in the way that I perceive the world. You know, I grew up in the suburbs north of Philly in Bucks County, and I didn't live in a city. I was always fascinated by cities. I always thought New York was such a cool looking place. You know, I remember I went through a period where I was watching a lot of like Woody Allen movies because to me that was like New York, you know? So like my idea of New York was like Woody Allen, which is kind of funny because it's not, that's just one take on it, right? It's not like the whole thing. But that's my, that was my perception that I gained from watching his movies and thinking that, like, oh, New Yorkers are these, like, intellectual, like, smart, funny, quirky, like, different kinds of people. But throughout, I think growing up, I would associate what I would see in movies to places and things and stories that I didn't have in my actual peripheral, like what wasn't actually happening around me.
Right.
So, you know, I love the idea of how movies can affect you in a way that make you think about your own story, your own life, your own personal struggles. And then that's something to talk about, not just literally like the movie and who directed it and who's in it and whatever criticism you want to attach to it.
Sometimes I think that's kind of, it kind of screws up a movie if I know too much.
I get annoyed by too much critique. You
well,
know,
I mean, if it's a director and it's all this and you're like, oh, God. And then you think, and sometimes those are the shittiest movies. And then it's the movies that don't have all that acclaim. It's just a, you know, just a movie. And you're like, oh, that was a great movie.
I think what's more interesting is how did you respond to it?
Exactly.
You know, like, it doesn't matter. I think one of my favorite movies, I used to be, and I also went through like stages of directors and movies that I liked. I was listening to some of the podcasts you did with Rob.
Yeah.
I would love to talk with him.
We've
talked a few times about, like, in passing or even like through the school events with our kids, like, you know, about what movie's out or what's been going on. But yeah,
and
like,
and
I don't
to say that actually, I felt like I didn't do Rob any justice because
why?
Well, I'm just not. I mean, I love movies, but I don't know a lot about movies. I don't know a lot about directors. You know, these guys are like, oh yeah, that director. And I felt
I don't
like,
think you have to. I think that's what I'm trying to say is like, I think there's too much emphasis put on sometimes like the, which that's a different kind of thing. If that's your thing and you, it's like anything.
Yeah, I shouldn't
do
a movie
podcast.
You
want to talk about direction and, you know, the acting and how that looked and like who was terrible and who wasn't and the circumstances around it. You know, I do get into that because I was a film major when I went to grad school. I studied film production. So I went specifically to make movies. That was my whole focus. But, you know, for regular people, it's interesting if you're a film buff, but there's more to it than just that, I think.
Yeah.
And people can definitely get hung up on just those things.
Well, we had a great podcast. It was fun. Yeah. I also had Karen Spazzato on, and happy birthday, Karen Spazzato. Today's her birthday.
And happy Tila. Birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday. But, you know, she came in here, you know, she's selling wine.
I'm like, right.
She brought a bottle, and she thought we were going to drink it. And I was like,
yeah.
So, you know. It was a fine podcast, but I didn't really have a lot of, you know, great insight into wine to talk about with her. So it's kind of the same thing with the movies, but it was fun.
Yeah, and movies you don't have to be. I mean, I love that, like, I can take a kid to a movie and I love to hear what they have to say about it.
Yeah.
Like, even when Charlotte was little, like, kids have the best responses to things because it's so pure. Like, they're not trying to impress or nothing. They're just like, that was great or this was that, you know, and I love to say, like, what's your favorite part? You know, what was your favorite part?
I took my kids to Suicide Squad.
Oh, I remember that movie.
Oh my God, that was a mistake. It was so bad. And my kids, we were sitting there, it was Sam and David.
That
and
was a mistake.
Well, the people were all looking at me like, why are your kids here? And I was like, I don't know. Whatever.
Oh my God, I have a funny story. Me and Nicole went to see that movie. There was a movie called Carol that came out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember that movie. It's like an adult movie. It's about like two women, whatever. It was like a mature movie.
Right.
And we ended up, this is so funny. So we go in the theater, we sit down, we're in our seats. And you know, if you're there early, you're just like, you're just looking at the people around you. You're like watching the advertisement screen, whatever. And I'm looking around as people are filling in and I'm noticing it's like a dad with two kids and like some more kids. And then I'm like, wow, these people are bringing their kids to see Carol. This is like totally bizarre, right? Like, why would you bring your kids? And then I thought, I'm like, you know, I think we're in the wrong movie. And we were in like the Star Wars movie.
Oh my God. Really,
which was hilarious. Cause I'm like, for a minute, I really thought that all those people,
so
were
you
bringing
knew ahead
kids.
Of time that it was kind of like a, maybe not a kid's movie.
No, it was like seeing like a dramatic, rated R, like,
right,
you know, and a movie that you would never take your kid to.
Exactly.
Okay, so, but I, it, you know, it, for me, I didn't judge it right away. I was kind of like, okay, well, maybe, you know, maybe those people are pretty interesting people that want their kids to see. I was trying to make sense of it. And then it was really funny when me and Nicole finally realized, I'm like, this is the wrong, we're in the wrong theater. And then we left. But to this day, it's so funny to me, just that whole thing. But
I took Sam to see a movie called Truth or Dare. Yeah. It was.
Is it a horror movie?
It was. We had to leave.
It sounds like the typical horror movie.
Well, because he wanted to go to a movie. I'm like, well, let's go. And we couldn't really find anything. So I said, well, let's try this. This looks silly, I suppose. I mean, from the get-go, it was violent. I was like, come on, we're out of here. And we actually were like.
Do you not? You must not look at the.
No, I don't.
Why don't you do that?
I'm not like you. I'm not going to. I don't. That's why you should do a movie podcast. I just go. To me, movies are too expensive. I have too many kids. I can't afford them.
I am now choosy about what I'll see.
Depending on what it is, to go to the theater, because there are
some things that are just easier to just put on at home.
When we were kids, my parents could drop us off. We'd go to the movies. We'd stay in the movie a couple times.
I know, double features.
Yeah, they didn't even really care. I must have saw Star Wars 78 times in the theater. We'd just go and just stay all day. Then we'd walk over to the mall.
That was like my favorite thing to do in middle school.
Yeah. And then we'd go to Chick-fil-A and hit up the samples, then hit the arcade.
Yeah.
And then go hit Chick-fil-A again. And then my parents would pick us up at 5. And it was like awesome. Now you can't leave your kids in the movies. You can't, it's like we're under attack by all these bad people.
Yeah, right.
And now the movies are so expensive. And that's fine.
Well,
the expensive part
is the problem, I think. But it's still, you know. I will always be a film goer.
No, and I will too. I just don't go as often as I would like because, you know, especially with, you know, if you take one boy to one movie, then the other one now he's got credit, you know, like he needs to go.
And they don't want to see, you know, listen, there's the summer blockbuster. It's still the same in terms of like the way movies come out. Mm-hmm. You know, the summertime is not for me the most fun time to go to the movies. It's usually all those summer, you know, action movies. And then we'll start now to see those kind of like the Oscar nominated films will start coming out. You'll start to see them.
Did you see A Star Is Born?
I did.
I love that
Gaga.
Movie. I love that movie.
Did you love it?
I loved it.
I just love Lady Gaga, so I'll watch her do anything.
I definitely love Lady Gaga, but I thought that movie was just great.
It was pretty good. I thought it was pretty good.
The music was awesome.
Yeah, it was good.
Did you see The Queen, the Freddie Mercury movie?
I didn't. Everyone's yelling at me about it. I did just see the Elton John movie, though.
Yeah, and that one, someone said that they didn't really like that one as much because
that's what
he didn't write the music.
Yeah,
his partner wrote the music. He performed it.
I saw it. I thought it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I did not see the Queen movie, but.
I like that movie, but I also at the same time thought it was a little, you know, it's really based on this one performance at Live Aid. You know, that's the whole build up, really. You know, I mean, there's this story, but, you know, that's his shiny moment was this Live Aid, which was really cool. But actually, they went back to Wembley and played and sold out like 5 days at Wembley Stadium, which was really the great concert. But, you know, it was good. I like, you know.
I'm really attracted to movies that I think are going to make me think.
Yeah.
Ready
Player One, that was good.
I didn't see that. I love horror movies, but they have to be good. Like I'm a little bit picky about that. Although I will see a bad movie just for fun, but probably won't pay for it. I like movies that get talked about because then I want to see them.
Well, we talked about this with Rob Rector, but the new Joker movie is supposed to be like Joaquin Phoenix is supposed to be at another level.
Wow.
In his acting performance in this movie.
I think he's great.
I think he's amazing. In fact, he was so good in Gladiator that, remember, because he has a cleft lip. He has a scar.
Yeah.
And he would think that you'd be like, well, you can't have a cleft lip if you're going to be an actor. He's like, fuck it, I got a cleft lip.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care. And I don't care either.
He's in the family, though, too. He's probably got, you know, he started young.
Well, he's good.
Yeah, he's really good.
He's a good actor. Yeah. I've seen the previews for this new... Have you seen the previews for the new Joker movie?
No, I haven't. Isn't it funny? Like, I don't even know. Where do you see a preview now? Who the hell knows? If you don't watch, like, I constantly am watching, like, Netflix or things that are already just recorded. So I don't even watch commercials.
Well, do you have cable?
I know, but we don't watch commercials. It's like we're always fast forwarding the commercials.
Yeah, I don't know how I don't know how I see. I've seen it several times.
I just look at the listings, and then I'll be like, oh, and I kind of like through that, I'll know what's happening.
Maybe because I've been watching football.
Like, what's your favorite movie growing up?
My favorite movie was Star Wars, I think it was like as an
it's a impact. Lot of boys.
Well, first of all, it came out in 1978. I was 10 years old.
Right.
We had previously seen Jaws.
Jaws is like one of my all-time favorite
Jaws
movies.
Jaws was great because I remember...
I'm like obsessed with Jaws.
I remember my buddy John and I, he had... we would pretend that his room was the boat and we couldn't get on the... We couldn't touch the carpet and we would play all day in this room acting like Jaws was in the water. So I remember Jaws is one of... Another big movie that... And I don't know if you ever saw this, was Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
I didn't see that.
It was so good. With the Bee Gees.
Oh, I didn't see that.
And that's when that was my first introduction to Aerosmith, because Aerosmith was in the movie and sang Come Together. And I was like, oh, this guy is nasty. I was like, oh, I like him, you know, because it was Steven Tyler,
oh my
young,
God, he's
big mouth, black leather. I was like, this guy is awesome.
Yeah.
So that's when I became a big fan of Aerosmith. But Jaws, Sgt. Pepper's, Star Wars, and then... We actually grew up in such a great time because we had Close Encounters.
I love all those are like my tops.
And E.T.
So like, yeah, Jaws, Close Encounters. What else from that time period?
Logan's Run, Blade Runner.
Blade Runner.
There was so many.
Did you see the remake of Blade
Runner?
All of the
Indiana Jones movies.
It's really awesome.
I haven't seen it.
Oh my God, you got
to
see it.
I'll have to check it out. We were just talking about Logan's Run. How come no one's redone that?
I don't know. But that one, that Blade Runner remake that they did, I thought it was insane.
Did they do it with Harrison Ford or was he in the first? He was in Harrison Ford.
It's like actually a sequel. So it's not a remake. It's a sequel to the first one.
The first one had Harrison Ford in it, right?
Yes. And he actually is in that one too.
Okay.
But if you're going to see it, I don't want to tell you about it.
I'm not going to see it.
Why?
Well, I mean, I might one day, but
come
that
on.
Means you can't tell me about it. Well, where do I see it? Is it on Netflix?
You can rent it. You can you can either rent it on like iTunes or I don't know, wherever you can like
it's probably
rent
on Netflix.
I don't know. Sometimes Netflix doesn't give you the good ones, you know? It's like they don't you have to like get the DVD or something, which I never do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I can see it, I'll see it.
Yeah. But I love Jaws. I watched Poltergeist recently.
Well,
the original Poltergeist
was so freaking good.
So great, man. Oh, my God. What a great movie.
But, when we watched, I just recently watched, I mean, it was like a year ago, we watched E.T. again. E.T., Steven Spielberg nailed it. Like, you watch that movie, and you want to see what it was like growing up in the 80s? That was it.
Yeah.
Freedom. There was no...
No, I know. All those movies are like that from back then.
Yeah, and it's like... Yeah, it was, you know...
And that's what I mean about... Having this kind of conversation, it's interesting the themes in movies and then also like looking at the time periods, because when you look at an older movie, it's not just telling you a story, but it's telling you a story in the framework of the time that it was made.
Absolutely.
So yeah, you notice that now. Like if you watched then, you wouldn't notice that, which is like, oh, look at the freedom the kids had. You know, now we're like watching a movie like that, and it was just happened to be that way then. And now we're like, oh my God, we don't let our kids do that now. Mm-hmm. That's interesting to me too, because there's so many things happening around that.
Well, I feel like that, not to change subjects because we'll come back to this one, but I feel like that, and this is a change that we've made. We've turned the news off. I feel like the news has become, they try to provide us news like a community where, you know, the United States are not a community. I mean, we're a community, so to speak. We're a nation, right? But our community isn't affected by the news, right? You know, I mean, I don't like watching the news. I always say it all started when that little girl fell in the well, you know, and
oh
CNN
my God,
started.
I remember that.
CNN started.
That was terrible.
Yeah, but remember we all, did you walk in the backyard and check and see if you had a well?
I mean, I knew I didn't have a well.
Right, but
so
I mean,
it made
us to start thinking about like, oh my God.
Well, yeah, now you're like, oh, are there holes?
Right,
should I
exactly.
look for a hole somewhere and stay away from it?
You know, when the news to me doesn't affect our community, you know, like when the six people died 2 weekends ago from heroin overdoses, that's affects our community. That
kind of
news.
Yeah, that's a big issue.
I'm. Want to do something about, but you know, when kids are getting snatched in Seattle, you know, I'm sorry about that, but why now we're reacting mm-hmm. to that? We're living in this reaction that all of a sudden now our kids really, we should be with these lists of people and, you know, with probation and people being watched, constantly monitored. We should really be in almost a safer time, you know, that
it's not about the time. It's about our mentality.
Right. Well, you remember
so
Ted Bundy?
So that's the part that's interesting about it.
Remember the Ted Bundy story?
Oh, yeah. I'm a true crime junkie.
So he
I know about all the serial killers.
He committed all this crime. And then when they started catching on to him, what did he do? He went over a different county. He changed states.
Well, yeah, because he could do that then.
Right. You can't do that now. So we should literally...
He could just hop around. Like, licenses didn't even have your photo on it.
Exactly.
So he was, you know, making up all kinds of things.
But there we were, out riding our bikes until the sun went down.
Right.
You ever been...
Well, it's fear.
Well, yeah, I guess.
I mean, it's a culture of fear. The news is to scare us. You know, I mean, Roger Moore did that in that documentary. Like, he went to Canada. He's like, look at the news in Canada. Did you ever see that documentary? I forget which one it was, where he's like, the news is happier. Like, that's what sells, right? So, right. Like, if you work in news, you're not going to look for the happy story. They're all looking for, like, a story that is a little bit, you know,
well, they fearful. They want advertising. They mean, the money, you know, fear sells.
It does. And so that's the problem, too.
I didn't, you know, we turned off the news. We don't watch the news anymore. So this whole, like, the hurricane that just went through.
Right.
I didn't know anything about it. Just from what people would kind of mention. I didn't care. I didn't pay any attention. And it never even hit us. It went right by. It never even came close to us. But there were people all in a whirl because of this hurricane. And that's the kind of shit I'm sick of. I'm tired of living in this reactionary state. Like, oh.
I think people are bored.
Definitely. People have nothing.
Don't you think that? Absolutely. I mean, they love it. They love drama.
They love it.
They're excited. I find it funny when people get really... Because everyone gets excited about the weather.
I am.
Don't they?
Yeah, they do.
They're like, did you hear? Oh, my God, it's coming.
It's a hurricane.
It's going to happen.
They name
it. I'm just like, okay.
Now they name nor'easters. Right. They name everything. Uh-oh, there's a cloud coming through. Let's give it a name.
Yeah.
Because we like it.
Well, yeah, people like it. It's a distraction.
So the weird thing is I've turned off the news, and I'm not living in that way anymore. But then I feel like the other day I'm like, I'm really not using my brain very well right now. I'm just not doing anything. I don't have anything going on. I mean, I'm living life, but I'm not stressed out about it.
You need more things to think about?
Yeah, I guess I need more things to think about. I'm not turning the news back on, but I'm very busy.
I'm not a big fan. I mean, I just am not a big fan of the news. Yeah. I like CBS Sunday Morning. I don't know why. There's something about it for me, just the whole feel.
Well, and that's kind of what we were doing.
It's
we were
like
watching
happy dappy little stories.
Well, and we were watching David Muir ABC News every night. But the news started being like, oh, Facebook's deciding what you guys or people are supposed to think now. And I'm like, wait a minute, you're telling me what to think. Facebook isn't telling me. You are. The news is telling me. So I shut it off.
But I think that's the thing is you start to realize you get to choose, you know, and you get to pick what you want to put in your brain on a daily basis.
Well, I've been doing a lot of this podcasting. I am enjoying. I love.
Do you like doing this?
I love podcasting, and I love bringing people. I hope that we can get you doing a podcast because, you know, we're doing the Rehoboth Social podcast. Mm-hmm. That's what this one is. Nah, I don't know what this is. This is just a free podcast here. But we do the Rehoboth Social, which is kind of about one business helping another. We do. We have Brian Mooney, who's doing Planet Earth. What's Happening? Which is he was doing a podcast.
What does he talk about?
He has guests on, and he's kind of, you know, he's
same
doing,
thing.
Yeah, kind of his little thing. But he was doing a podcast in Georgetown and kind of lost his motivation because it's tough starting a podcast. Yeah. It's hard to get people to follow you and listen.
I think you just got to do it because you like it, you know.
Well, you got to do it. And like I said to you when we first started
like,
this
what's
one.
Your, if what's you your want, end result? Like, what's your goal with it?
Well,
I think everybody has different reasons for doing a podcast.
Yeah, I don't know if I had a reason. I just thought
I just like to talk to people.
Yeah, I just like to talk to people.
I just want to like just chit chat about shit.
Exactly.
You know? I've been for a while too. Like the kids think I'm funny because I'm always like, this is for months. I've been trying to like think, what should I do? A podcast? That'd be fun. Let's do a podcast. And Charlotte's so hilarious. Our youngest Charlotte, because she'll listen to me talk about anything. And like I'll be, you know, I just walk the dog with her every morning. I'd be like, yeah, you could do anything. Like, you could be like, what'd you do this morning? Like, what do you do in the morning? That could be like a whole topic. Like, what are people's morning routines?
Well, don't you think that's a great...
I think everything's fascinating. Like, that's fascinating to me. I don't know why. Like, everybody does do different things.
What I love about you guys over there, Nicole, you, all the kids, is the same kind of thing that I feel like we have at our house, is that my message is always to the kids, what do you want to do today? Yeah. The world's out there.
Yeah,
you know,
every day.
We don't fall into that row of rubber ducks that, you know, get in line with the rest of the ducks and we'll do what the rest of the people do. It's like, what do you guys want to do today?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that
I'm very grateful for that. Like, we definitely have so much room to just have a lot of different things happen all the time. And it's not like we're in some stuck routine.
Right.
With our jobs, like the 9-to-5 thing. And I feel fortunate. Like, not everybody gets to have the freedom, even though sometimes there's pressure, as you know, like having your own business is hard. Yeah.
There's a lot of pressure to being free too, because I could hit the couch some days. I could just be like, you know what?
Dude, are you kidding? I was like watching so much of like the beginning. I was rewatching Dexter.
Oh,
I don't know why. I love it. I don't care.
No, I mean, when you start to rewatch, we got to find something for you to do.
Well, I plenty to do.
Oh,
like what do you do for fun? This is another one. What do you do for fun? I have another one, another topic that I wanted to do a podcast. I wanted to call it the confessional because I grew up Catholic and I had to go to confession.
Yeah.
Which was to make like third graders go to confession is hilarious. You're like standing in a line and you have to like make up sins. Like, think of something bad that you did. And you're like, I didn't do anything bad. Like, make one up and get in there and say a sin. So that was always...
I thought a fun podcast would have people come on, probably women.
Why women? What are you saying about us?
No, but I thought it would be fun. But the problem is that we'd have to like mask their voices. Why? And just share their dirtiest stories.
Tom.
Well, I mean, I thought that would be a fun podcast.
What do you think we have hiding?
I don't know, but I'm ready to hear the
stories. You're curious. You think this stuff...
I think we all have, you know...
It's just human beings.
There's so much shame in this world. You can't talk about, you know, I just went through this. I had to get a colonoscopy yesterday. And I was telling Tila when I came in, I was like, I crabbed my pants yesterday.
Oh, my God.
She's like, do you think you can just tell me that stuff? And I go, well, you're like my friend, right?
You're I need to tell somebody.
Is there shame in that? You know, I mean, it was a colonoscopy. You know, I think it's probably everyone's had this. Or if you haven't, eventually you will have it.
I haven't been there yet, so I'm really...
Well, when you do...
You're making it sound good.
But the point was is that, you know, there's so much shame. It's like, what do I give a shit? I mean, you know. But I thought it would be...
That's also like what happens when you've... Because of program, I think it's like your filter is less.
Yeah.
Because if you do that a lot, you're so used to just being like, blah. And then you go out into the real world and you're like, oh, wait, I can't. Maybe I shouldn't be so just open.
Right.
But...
I thought that would have been a fun podcast. I think definitely people would listen.
What's the podcast?
Just random people come in here and tell their dirty stories.
Dirty stories.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have dirty stories. But
you got some dirty stories.
I don't really have. I mean, I don't know what, you know, dirty.
I'm not trying to get you to do that podcast. I'm just saying that I think would have been a fun podcast for somebody. I can't be involved with that. I'm just
saying.
There
are so many things, right?
There's so many things.
There's so many things. Yeah, but
you could do a podcast just like what I do and just have your friends, different people come in and chat with them.
Yeah, I'm definitely, I think movies are the thing I like to talk about the most.
Movies would be good.
Movies are good.
But people, I think, would also just want to hear what's going on with Tiffany.
What's going on with Tiffany?
Well, you have a lot of friends, too.
Do I?
Well, and that's the other thing. You know, I've done
you seem to think so.
Well, I've done 80 podcasts, and for the most part, all of them have been with my friends.
Oh, okay. Well,
like today, you're doing the podcast.
Well, I had this idea that it'd be really interesting to like take strangers to the movies and then talk about it.
I like that idea.
But it's a little dangerous unless I just bring acquaintances.
Why? Is everybody going to, what, does everybody want to rape you?
I don't think anyone wants to rape me, but that's a whole, I'm getting scared sitting
here. That's different danger. That's actually a plus, right?
Such a compliment when people want to sexually assault me.
Well, what danger? What are you?
I don't know. Like, just to be like, hey, when I go to the movie, like, it's a little bit
weird.
They're
going to call you every day. Hey, we're friends.
Yeah,
we're movie
know.
Friends. That might be dangerous.
Well, I just think, you know, like I said, I love that. Okay, I'll give you a weird example of what I mean about film and just a movie, and then also how there's separate meanings for the person that watches it. All okay. Right. That's why that's the part is like, how did you receive the movie? What's going on with you? So that you could take, and some movies are nothing. You know, you go see the Suicide Squad, you're not going to get, nothing's coming out from that movie. That movie's just,
no,
whatever. But some movies do, I think, affect us.
Like if you took me to go see A Star Is Born,
yeah,
a romance,
yeah,
and then
okay,
I might,
yeah.
And then I might go, is this a message from Tiffany?
Or you might just, you might, why is everyone calling me?
I am this podcasting.
This is the problem, we're going back to the phone issue. Yeah, I'm podcasting, man. I'll just share this because I've been sharing it with a lot of people. So I saw It Part Two, and
okay. My kids want to see this.
Okay, so I did not read. I'm going to just say straight up, I did not read the book It. I tried. I did not get far because I'm a bad reader. I don't know why I can't read. Really going to work on it. I have this thing I say.
Is it
that
you can't read, or is it that you just can't focus?
I can't commit. I can't commit. I read on vacation. Like if we go away, I will like read a book and I'm like so proud about it. I'm like, oh my God, I finished. Look, the whole thing done.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because I have a little ADD. I don't really know. But anyway, so I didn't read. Also, that's a challenging book. It's like a massive book. Okay. I might try to go back and read it, but I know the story. I've seen the previous versions that they've tried to do of the movie, like TV series, and they've done. So I was excited to see it, and I saw part one. I loved it. I always love stories. I think that's why Stranger Things is popular. You know, stories about kids in middle school, you know, overcoming fears and challenges. Like, those are great, great stories for all of us, especially as adults now, I think. And so I went to see it. I decided I was just going to go by myself because I had tried to get my kids to go. Everybody's busy now. My kids were like, I have plans. I'm like, fine.
Growing up.
Fine. I'll go by myself, which I love. So I went by myself and I don't get scared of scary movies anymore. Like, I don't know why I've seen too many of them. Like, I'm not like, oh my God, it's scary. I just enjoy it. And I think it's fun. But I ended up watching it and I was like crying throughout the entire movie as if I was watching like Terms of Endearment. Like we're talking about it. This is not like a tearjerker kind of experience, but it really affected me. And I came out of there and I was like, wow, man, what kind of weirdo am I that I just went to see this and it like really made me cry.
Why would you cry?
Just the theme, of the movie.
Was it lonely? Was it like sad? Was it?
It's really powerful because it's about, people and in their youth that have to, let's see. Well, they have their own personal individual issues or problems, things that they are dealing with in their lives that are hard for them. You know, whether it's the girl who's being like abused or sexually abused by her father, the kid that has the kind of codependent mother who's, you know, overbearing. They all have their individual like problems that they're dealing with. And then this it thing occurs and they have to face fears. They have to join together as a group. You know, there's so many themes in it. So they're all alone in their own sense dealing with these things. And then they find each other and then they have to come together to face this thing.
I thought it was a murdering clown.
I think people misunderstand. That's why the book, I think you have to take a look at it if you haven't. Because, yeah, it's a clown, but what happens also in the story is that they, the clown will embody your deepest fears for each individual person. Okay. So it's like shape-shifting. It doesn't always just stay a clown.
Wow.
So that's what's cool about it, right?
No, I'm interested.
This is what I'm saying. So then the second part, and in the book they interweave the past and the future and the present throughout the story. But in the movie, what they decided to do was do the first part's when they're young. The second part is when they're adults. Okay, so they all come together in the first part. Hopefully, spoilers, everyone. I'm spoiling this movie for you if you haven't seen it. So then they go in the first part and they have to like come together and fight this it.
Mm-hmm.
Then it kind of ends briefly. Second part is like 20 years later. Now they're adults. They've all like separated. They all moved away. They're all living their lives. However, still dealing with internal problems that they did not face completely when they were young. So now they're called back to town by the one person that never left. And they have to now face again internal fears, things they haven't addressed in their own lives as they come together again to kind of battle this thing. Yeah. Okay. So I think the themes that got me emotional were the sense of even being adults and sometimes feeling like our old fears get the best of us, our childhood ways and our childhood selves are still stuck inside of us, yeah. and we can't really face them, or we don't know how to face them. And moving past that, being able to challenge that, those individual things for ourselves. And then also the sense of community, which I like the sense that nobody could do it by themselves, that the only way they could face them was as a group. And so there were all these little themes that I was watching happen in the movie, even though there's like tons of scary stuff going on. And it got me a little bit because I could relate to all those things.
Yeah.
And I can relate to when I've isolated in my life and I've like avoided people and how I've been able to grow and change, by connecting and by like allowing myself to let people in to see me and grow. And so this is kind of deep now, right? So like for me, for me, that's a really good example of how some movies have really affected me throughout my life in a way that I like walk out and I'm like, wow, you know?
Well, and I think you definitely have to be older to reflect really, yes. right? Because yes. I don't think you could have found this early. I mean, if you were a kid, this wouldn't. But I mean, it's weird how we experience things in a day that bring up old shit that we don't really.
Oh, yeah, totally.
The last one that kind of did that was when I picked up the kids for the last time at the little school.
Oh,
I was very emotional about that.
Absolutely.
And I think it was a lot about, for a long time, I never thought I could even have kids. Not physically have them, but like wasn't ever going to be available. You know, I was just going to be
you think that?
Well, before I got sober, I was living a life of self.
Yeah.
And to have children, you really can't have a life of self. It's really, you have to surrender that shit.
I don't think many people think about it.
Well, you don't think about it. But you either going to have a great experience being a parent or you're going to have a shitty experience.
Yeah.
And if all you do is go, I can't wait till these kids are 18, you're going to have a shitty experience of being a parent.
Yeah.
But if you surrender that shit and become just available, you know, when I picked, you know, last night the kids had their band practice and David picked me up. All right, David, I picked David up from your house and he's on the way home. He goes, I just want to tell you, I really appreciate you picking me up because I know it's an inconvenience and I just want to say thank
David.
You.
He's
and
so
I
sweet.
Said, bro, I love it. I said, this is why I'm here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if I don't have the time to come over and pick you up, this is what my life is about.
I know, it's true.
Your time to shine. You know, I'm here for you. I said, you know, David never learned an instrument, so David couldn't be part of the band. And we had this conversation a while back. I said, find something that you can do, whether it's sound, lighting, take pictures, do their social media.
There's so much to do.
What part? And he's now become their sound guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm so proud of him. And, he's like, I screwed up, Dad. I messed up last night. And I go, I bet you won't do that mistake again, you know?
Oh, he's just learning how to do it.
I know, but, you know,
I mean, he's got some complicated stuff going on.
I know.
Kids. I mean, it's impressive.
But, and my point to him was this, but this is my job. This is what, this is my time, you know, to be there for you. I said, I'm glad I'm not, drinking. I'm glad I can come over and pick you up at 8:30 because there would have been a time when I wasn't available at 8:30.
Right.
Or I'd have done it. That's because that was really my biggest problem. I was a drunk driver.
Yeah.
I'm like, hell yeah, I can get you. Be right there.
I think like everyone on the road is a drunk driver in the summer. Oh my God.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Dude.
But it's cool to be, as we mature and grow up, we become available for weird little messages, little treats in our life.
I think we
Easter
all have
eggs.
Places where we get those messages of like, just like, whether it's like just to confirm something for yourself or maybe you need a little bit of insight. Like, you know, it's a quiet place for me. It's funny. Like, I know people talk about church. I hear people talk about that. You know, like, I sit in a quiet church and it's so peaceful. Like, church wasn't peaceful for me. I grew up in Catholic school. It was, like, stressful, you know? But, like, the movies are like my church. You know, I sit in a quiet, dark room and I just relax. It's wherever you get it, you know, like, I think that's the thing. It's, you know, as you're saying to David, like, where do you love, where is it like fun for you? Where's your creativity? Like, what lights you up? You know, I feel lucky that I have a lot of things that light me up. You know, yeah. Photography lights me up. I mean, I love
well,
so
you are
many
a fantastic things. Photographer,
thank
by
you.
The way.
Thank
I just
you
saw
much.
You posted a picture of Nicole that you took with the glasses.
She's a pretty easy subject.
Yeah, well, look.
She you know, she rolls she, in she, like that.
But she,
you know it.
It wasn't even that, because Nicole's beautiful.
She is.
And she's even become more beautiful just in her, you know, really, in the last 5 years.
Yes.
She's really starting to, you can see
she
some
is.
Peace starting to come over her.
Yeah.
But the way, you know, the background was out of focus. I mean, there's a lot of cool shit to your pictures that I,
you
know, that I see because I'm like, how can I do that with my phone? Unless,
yeah.
That wasn't with your phone, right?
No, it wasn't
was
with my
camera.
Phone. Yeah.
So I think, yeah. I do think I love all the pictures that you take. And,
thank you.
You know, sometimes I don't like them, maybe just out of jealousy.
Why are you so jealous? What are you jealous about?
I don't know. What the fuck's that about, right?
I don't know. Who cares?
I know. I'm just telling you.
Dude, look at this shit. This is awesome.
I know.
This is, like, amazing.
I guess the point
I
of that is what...
I could be jealous of this room.
The point of that is that as just a human, just
well,
going
we
through
compare,
the day...
You know, it's how do you stop comparing... trust me, I have struggled with it. You know, when I was young, I wanted to, I went from art, then photography, and then I'm like, I want to make movies, you know, and I went down that path. I still like making movies, you know, I still do stuff like I've submitted things, you know, we did the Revival House thing, and that was so much fun.
Are you going to do that again?
I would like to, I have to make time for it. I mean, that thing I did that day, I did that in a day just because I was like, oh man, just do something. So I do enjoy it, but I did go through a time, especially in my 20s, where I was doing a lot of comparing and a lot of judgment and just negative self.
Not good enough.
Yeah, I just didn't think what I was doing was going to be good enough. And I think that didn't serve me in so many ways. And I think in the end, what I learned, what I continue to learn, and I have to keep reminding myself, because I still do it.
Yeah.
I have to keep reminding myself is that for me, it's not really about the end result. You know, I just need to focus on what I like to do.
Yeah.
And if I stay there, then it doesn't really matter where it goes. I think I still have to have goals. And that's been the work for me lately is to like set goals up for myself. Like if I want to do a show of my work or I want to submit to things like, cause I used to avoid that step because I went through my 20s and I would try to do these things and I would feel like they were failures. You know, I would label it a failure and then it'd be like, oh, you suck, you know, don't bother doing this anymore. And so then I've kind of learned that that's not the point. You know, the point is to just do it, you know, and my favorite movie about that is Tim Burton did Ed Wood, which is all about, Ed Wood, the director who was labeled the worst, you know, film of all time. Plan 9 from Outer Space. Did you ever see Ed Wood?
No.
That movie also makes me cry. It's a great movie with Johnny Depp plays Ed Wood.
Okay.
He was kind of labeled the worst movie maker of all time back in that time period. He made the worst movies, but the movie is about his love for making movies and how it didn't matter to him what people thought. He just kept making it. You know, like it's such a beautiful thing about what drives you to do something. So I love that movie.
I'm going to have to, what's it called?
It's called Ed Wood.
Ed Wood, okay.
Ed Wood, yeah. It's black and white. It's a great movie. It's a great movie, Timber. I love that movie. But that movie is another one of those movies that has affected me in many ways because I think you do have to let go sometimes of where it's going and just keep at it. You know, even to say to like what I love about Oliver is like, especially music, right? Like you got to keep at something. You got to just keep at it.
I love Oliver.
He's I just crazy. Think that's the most beautiful thing. Is
remember
to
that
just
song
keep
he made?
It.
The what was the he made those songs that were so
they're
the turtle
great.
The turtle
Herb the turtle yeah
Herb the turtle yeah. I mean that's what you know I love Oliver I love that him and David are friends I love that David has someone like Oliver in his life that just keeps his creative mind open because Oliver's just like
he has this like ability to not think about that stuff
yeah.
Yeah, it's a gift, don't you think?
I do.
I mean, I don't think many of us have it, which is just to be like, I don't think about, I'm just doing it because I have to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like not worrying about what people are going to think about it.
Well, that's
it.
Kind of like this podcast. You know, it's always funny.
Just
I'll
do it.
Find some, yeah. Like I'll do something in my life and I'll look at somebody doing something like, and I'll poo-poo it more than likely because I wish I was doing it. And then I'll not pay attention. And then like a year or two later, all of a sudden they have like success doing something that they've been doing that I poo-pooed 2 years ago.
Right.
And then 2 years later, I've done nothing. And there they are. They've, you know, whether they're making great money or they just, you know, gotten a lot better at it, they've taken the time where I've sat there and, you know, stared down my nose at them for 2 years. And I'm like, so I'm like, fuck it. I'm just going to start doing stuff.
Yeah.
And whether people like it or not, I don't care. But here I am. And then they're like, dude, you've got a podcast channel. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been working on it. I've been working hard at it.
Yeah.
And
well, you keep doing it. And I think that's the thing. That's the thing that I'm learning and I'm still working on, but I think I've gotten much better at it. And I listen to a lot of things that inspire me. I love to listen to, you know, interviews, podcasts, whatever, shows, documentaries about other artists, especially photographers. And I heard one recently and it was about a famous photographer. I forget now which person it was. It's going to drive me crazy. But one of the most important things he said was, you know, if you're a photographer, you shoot every day. Done. You can't not do it every day. You know, whatever your art is, you just do it. You just keep doing it. It doesn't matter. You know, yes, you can have focus and have different projects, but the only way you get good at something is you just have to keep doing it. You know, I think that's great. And the kids know that too. Like I'm always saying, like, just got to keep at it. Just do art every day. You know, you do this podcast, just keep doing it. The end result doesn't, it's fleeting anyway. I mean, that's one thing I learned about making films, because I was making films in grad school and I would get so focused on the end result, you know, like the finished product and then getting it into festivals. You know, that happened after grad school, which was like, how do I get this somewhere? How do I get people to see it? And I would get really lost in that process to the point where it would really destroy me, because I would just get like so down on myself if I had a specific idea of where I wanted it to go and then it didn't go there. But then over time, and this is since I've grown up and, you know, I've gotten older, like you said, I've realized that really what I love about filmmaking or photography is the doing. Because the end isn't, it's quick anyway. Mm-hmm. Even if you get someone to say it's amazing or something happens, that doesn't stick. Then it's like, what's next?
Well, and you also almost need like 3 or 4 or 5, 6, 7, maybe even 10 degrees of separation from, especially photography, art, painting, anything that's like, you know, I'll do a lot of stuff. I'll try to, you know, people, you know, I post all my pictures on the TV. They run in the salon. The people are like, you are so good. You should sell it. The problem is that nobody around me that, you know, that lives in it.
It's hard to sell photography.
Yeah, nobody cares because they see it. But like if you're 6 degrees away from it, like, oh my God, this is beautiful. Do you know who did it? I don't. I'd buy that. But if it's like,
and that has nothing to do with what you are, you know, that's something that, art is more than, you know, your art is, you do hair. Like whatever you do is your art to
right.
me.
Right, exactly.
So that's whatever it is for you.
Right.
You know? And so.
But I'm just saying that you need a separation from like, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's. So many people around us, they're like, well, it's great, but I know you and I saw you do it, so it couldn't have been that hard, you know, when it's really, especially photography. I think photography.
Oh, people, I mean, I've gotten used to that.
People go, oh, you're so good. I said, no, I was just there at 5 a.m. when you were sleeping.
Right.
You know, it's always the shot, right? It's the sunrise or the sunset or.
I know.
I took this picture of Silver Lake Bridge. I took this picture the other day. Of looking down the boardwalk, but with the reflection, it was right after the rain, so half the boardwalks was in this reflection.
I love water.
And, oh my God, it's such a beautiful picture.
Rain is so cool.
And they're like, oh my God, you're such a great photographer. I go, no, it was just a puddle. I just happened to pull off my bicycle and took the picture.
Well, you know, you should take the compliment.
Which I did.
Everyone says to me, right? Like, because you saw, you know, it's not, photography is really how you see. That's what I tell people. It's not about the equipment. It's about how you see.
Listen. We're going to have to do another podcast.
Oh, man.
Well, that was 1 hour and 10 minutes.
Jesus.
I know.
That's a lot of talking. You're good. Am I?
That was fun.
Did you enjoy it?
Can I be your first guest?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay. Well, we're going to do it.
But didn't we just do it? We just did it.
I know, but I'm going to give you a key and I'm going to let you have your day. But if you want to try to do it, your day's going to be Tuesdays.
You're going to have to make a plan.
Well, I'm just going to be here and you show up and you
can bring... do you usually have a time limit for these?
No.
Do you edit this?
No.
Wow.
It's just that.
This is straight up, off the cuff.
Straight up.
Man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's really... It's been fun, Tom.
Tiff. I think I can call you that, right?
Sure.
Tiff.
You call me... Everybody calls me Tiff.
I know, but it just sounds so...
Except my kids, some of them call me Tiffy.
I won't go Tiffy. but TIFF.
That's a little weird for us, I think.
Yeah, no. TIFF.
I don't TIFF's need to good. Be, listen, I don't want to be anybody else's mom at this point. I have enough of them. I don't want to be a mommy to anyone else in the world. That's fine.
Well, you were going
to
wear your robe.
I know. I almost thought about the robe.
You can't bring the robe into the podcast studio because they will talk.
Would they?
Well, it's a sexy robe.
You think that's a sexy robe?
I kind of did.
Oh, my God. Tom. Yeah,
I'm a guy.
I'm learning a lot about you.
Yeah, don't bring that robe.
You know, I don't hang around enough guys. That's probably the problem.
Oh, I'm all guy. All day.
You are.
24/7.
And you've got this guy on, too.
And that robe?
It's so funny. I like this so much, I don't want it to end.
Well, if I didn't have to do someone's hair at 11:30, we could keep chatting.
It's okay.
I did a podcast with the Rehoboth Foodie the other day.
Yeah.
Went for an hour and a half. And he goes, that was too long.
I love long podcasts, though. That's the ones I listen to. Like, if it's 20 minutes, I'm like, stupid. I have 20 minutes. That's nothing.
Well, this...
How can you even get anywhere in 20 minutes?
Let me tell you something. This was a great, great chat. And it went easy.
Agreed.
And you're easy to talk to. And I think you should do it. So we're going to give it a shot.
Can I say my business?
Yeah.
Just absolutely.
Oh, you want to promote you?
Can I? Absolutely. For like a moment?
Well, and you know what I'm going to do?
I feel like I should.
We're going to put all your website. Let's go ahead. Promote.
I'm not really good at this part, but Tiffany Caldwell Photography. I am a photographer. I do family weddings. Oh, I hate saying it. I do weddings. I love documentary family photography. I like day in the life photography. That's one of my specialties.
You're a great photographer.
All your photography needs.
I love it.
I will do what you need.
Well, we'll put all this into the description, your website, and all that stuff.
Yeah, you can plug it in.
But I think you're going to start doing a podcast, and I think you're going to actually be, your business is going to go up, because, not that you
I'm happy with my business.
See, that's the thing. People say, well, do you want to promote the salon? I say, not really.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I should, just so people are like, who are you?
Right.
They don't know who I am, but I don't know.
You don't want to be
so much more than that.
You are, and I think that's, and I am too, and that's why
and
I like doing
are.
This podcast. That's why I don't do a hair salon podcast. I do this kind of podcast.
Yeah, well, you're
that's
Tom.
That's a different business.
And I'm Tiff.
Now that's a podcast. The Tom and Tiff Show. Tom and Tiff. Hey, Tiff and Tom. Hey.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, you need some jingle, man. You need like a little.
Well, it's funny that I did a podcast with this guy, Jim, and his podcast goes up next week, but he's a guitar teacher, and I asked him if he would write me a podcast
opening
song.
Just do a little ditty.
And he said he would. He'd love to.
Yeah, you could open with love a little
to.
Music, and then maybe you need a little photo.
Yes. Well, I got to take your photo, so don't move. But listen, I got to go.
All right, peace. Thanks
thank
for
you.
Having me.
All right, bye.